Item four is a rezoning at 772 Jesse Avenue under file DAZ227 of 2013 in accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and Procedure Bylaw. This is a combined hearing, and the following items will also be heard. Item five is a conditional use at 772 Jesse under file DCU 164490 of 2013. And item six is a variance at 772 Jesse Avenue under file DAB 164494 of 2013 D. And there was a revised report.
Do you have a copy of the revised report? Yeah.
Okay. For the variance.
Okay, just a brief summary. This is a rezoning application from R1S, single family residential, to R2 to construct a triplex. It's at the corner of Arbuthnot and Jesse in the Earl Grey neighborhood. The existing house would be demolished and replaced with the new structure. There's also variances. There were initially four variances. That's just been reduced to two variances. So there's a variance for front landing area, and then a variance for the corner side yard.
So the front yard and rear yard variances are not being asked for anymore?
That's correct.
They're not required anymore? Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Daniel McGibbon and Gord Steves.
Thank you, members of the committee. A good introduction by Mr. Robinson with respect to the project. Three issues and reports before the committee today. As stated, an application for a residential change in zoning from R1 to R2. I don't believe it was said there's a condition of plan approval that exists in the report, which is, of course, fine by the applicant. That doesn't present any difficulty. By way of background, the applicant, of course, as per the normal course, has been working with the City of Winnipeg Public Service, mostly through the person of Michael Robinson and others who have been very helpful. And we're very pleased to have achieved a positive report on all three of the rezoning, the conditional use, and the variance as amended as well. So we are within the specter of what the City of Winnipeg Professional Public Service feels that is appropriate to the area to evolve the manner of housing on this corner lot to some degree. The R. Winnipeg, I won't read it verbatim, but in terms of supporting the moderate to low change in density, consistency of form, buildings, and spaces, the full life cycle of housing needs and community, the clarity and promotion of compatibility between existing developments and new developments are the reasons listed as to the support from the R. Winnipeg document. This is an exceedingly interestingly written report in that there's a fair bit of detail that has gone into with respect to corner lots in the area. And Councillor Gervasi certainly is aware of the idea that in the area, greater density is concentrated towards the corner lots on the residential streets, which is perfectly in keeping with the neighborhood. And then the report itself, the report lists the surrounding corner lot areas, and they list the number of units that exist on the corner lots, which is not something I've seen before. And I would like to point out that that wouldn't be something that would be accomplished without any small amount of work. So we thank administration for that. It's a good bit of background information. And what they found is on the Kitty corner lot, there's 11 units, two units. Other corner lots include a care home, which we estimate, doesn't say how many, but 30 units, 18 units, 21 units, 30 units, 19 units, 36 units, 11 units, 3 units, and 11 units. So that's the type of development that exists in the immediate area.
Yeah, 100 years ago that care home was built. I really don't like that argument.
Oh, is that right? Well,
no,
no, I'm just
I think that's good. I think, next to it is a single family, duplex, yeah. Single family. I mean, it's a nice trick, but, I mean, those things are there,
It's under the report, is what I'm saying.
Well, I get your thing. I like the project, but...
Oh, okay.
I think. But I don't like what you're saying right now, because you keep giving me that argument. Care home?
I want to emphasize that it's in the report. That it's not my argument. It's out of the report.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. Maybe that was unfair.
Yeah.
But
okay.
it's a discussion you brought up last time too. That you know, we're not looking at 30 units on a single family lot. And
no, of course not. My point was, and I think the point of the report.
Sorry, that was probably
was that it was this is three units, right?
Right.
Okay. So. Wow, I wasn't expecting that.
Sorry, it's been a long day. It's been a long week.
No worries. No worries, Counselor. It's okay. No, it's okay. It is kind of cool out there. I get it. With respect to the design, you're familiar with the infill development guidelines, the checklist, and the requirements on Appendix A, which have been met. The proposed rear yard setback of the principal building is, I think, listed as 30 feet, but I believe now is 28 feet. Do I have that correct, Daniel?
I don't have
it. Okay. It meets standard of 25 mm-hmm. feet. So it's within the permitted setback. It's not. The one thing I'm not going to say is I'm not going to list the part of the report where they compared the corner lots and the setback.
I'm sorry. I came down. I don't like that argument.
Fair enough. I'm not going to go there.
Those things were built a long time ago.
I'm not going to go there. The front yard setback requires a front yard setback of 20 feet. This building is set back 23 feet. So no problem there. In terms of other patterns, it meets the height of the building is 35 feet high, which is the allowable amount with respect to the building. So that's the crux of the matter with respect to the zoning report. The conditional use, of course, is I'm not going to say just pro forma, but it's required. Conditional use if you're moving from a single-family use into anything that's beyond a single-family use, is my understanding. There are two variances that are now required. We're going to respectfully suggest that the variances themselves are of the smallest manner. It's requested that the opening landing on the ground level would have an area of 45 square feet instead of 36 square feet. Which is an increase of 9 square feet, and obviously, just to put it in context, that's an area of 3 feet by 3 feet, so not a huge change from what's allowed. And on the on the east corner, the zero side yard setback of the corner is consistent with setbacks in the area on corner lots, and it won't affect adjoining properties, obviously, because it's on the roadside. One change that was made pursuant to the public consult, public discussions, was that the roof and the slope pitch has been changed such that it's a single slope roof, so the low part is up against the residential side, sloping up to the road, which I think is a positive change. This pursuant to the discussion with the one affected neighbor immediately adjacent to. I'll provide the members of the committee through the clerk, some pictures of the proposed project. Ask Daniel if he wants to make a few comments on the project itself.
Thank you.
He's the talent in the crew here.
I was just going to ask, is this picture showing it without the balcony, or?
There's no balcony.
Yeah, the balconies originally in the variance have been removed.
Yeah.
And so what is the backyard on this?
The backyard is 28 feet.
28 feet.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Really, we've outlined the description of the building pretty extensively and refined it through discussions with Michael about what they're looking for in a building, and it sits in a corner lot. Also, we've met with the neighbor, we've handed them a set of the plans, and we've talked it through with them. We've shown them their only real comment was, I hope it's not low-income rental. And that's not a great statement to say, but that was their concern. And seeing as we were able to say fairly confident that we're either doing condominiums or rental for a specific demographic. We're not really targeting something like that. They were pretty happy with what we had to say. Their other questions were more about the construction process, not about the final form that will reside beside them. They asked us about, like, will our foundation be okay, and we were able to assure them that they're very careful, and there's a lot of coverage for us doing the work, and that we, if there is a problem, that it'll be fixed, not on their dime. So that's really where the discussion went, and really just, I'm here to answer questions if there's anything particular about the design that someone would like to have clarified.
I'm just, is this balcony on the front still there?
There is balconies, but they are inset into the footprint of the building.
Oh, I see.
So if you, that would be the third floor, if you flip forward a few drawings, or if you flip to the one, two, three, fifth page of the document.
Which page, sir?
The fifth page of the document. You'll see that there's levels one, two, three, just on that main page right there. Yeah, the part where it just says rooftop patio, it is sitting over the inset portion of the building. So it doesn't project into anyone's yard. Or it doesn't project into the front yard or rear yard.
Okay. Wait a sec. I had a question. I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, yeah, so you spoke with the neighbor immediately next door. Are they, what was their, I mean, it sounds like you responded to some of their concerns with the change to the roof line.
We didn't actually change the roof line based on their input. Oh. We had these changes that we instigated, or we didn't instigate these ourselves. These are some changes we were working through in the office, but realized we hadn't submitted for the actual proposal, so we scrambled and got the paperwork together to show that we were making these changes regardless of where the variances went in this meeting, because we wanted to reduce our building by these, what we indicated in changes in this application. So we were doing that regardless, but when we met with the neighbor, we showed them this set of plans. They weren't concerned about the first set of plans. They weren't concerned about this set of plans. They're fairly amendable to construction beside them.
What about any other neighbors on the street?
We didn't.
We just talked to the immediate neighbor.
Yeah, we didn't feel that anyone was immediately affected by the construction, so we didn't talk to anyone directly. We thought that if there was people in the neighborhood, they don't need direct response from us. They would probably come to the meeting, and then it would probably be able to see who had concerns and address it like that.
Well, I guess I'd say one comment on that is that concerns me a little bit. And with this was one that the application was in before I was aware of it as well, so there was an opportunity to meet. I know Mr. Walter had not realized he came to a meeting about some other things, and then you couldn't talk about this one, so there wasn't an opportunity to give any input. I mean, I know it's just me, but normally we do that process where we meet with the counselor and the planning department. Also, usually consultation is more than just the house next door. I mean, obviously it has some kind of impact on the street. So, I mean, I hope I'm just giving you some comment in terms of process going forward in the future. I appreciate, you know, that this development has taken into account a lot of the issues, you know, that we've worked through a lot of developments in the neighborhood. Having a better front yard and a backyard is definitely an improvement, and I think that will be appreciated, because it will, you know, have impact on the rest of the block, not just the immediate neighbor. But having said that, I don't think I have any further questions at the moment. There's other people.
Administration, Michael?
Thank you.
Any comment?
Only respond to questions, if there's any.
No, I don't have any questions at this time, but there's more people. Thank you.
Okay, next in support, Yaron Walter.
Okay.
Is there anyone else in support who I have not called who wishes to speak?
No.
Okay, in opposition, Cheryl Hobbs and Riley Barkman.
Hi, good evening. I'm Cheryl Hobbs from 573 Jesse Avenue. I am discouraged to see yet another one of these massive condo developments in our residential area. Sorry, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
And and that they're being recommended by the planning department. There have been too many of these, and they are too big in our area. This one, I think, is included in that. With the numerous developments in this small area in such a short period of time, we can now clearly see the trend. This one is three stories high and, again, shows extreme rear yard massing. It's less than some of the ones that we've seen, and there's no attached garage. But relative to the surrounding neighborhood, not the corner lots and blocks down the way, it is too far back. And the infill development guideline says that the rear yard setback is supposed to be comparable to the adjacent neighborhood, which would be 50 feet again in this case, not 28 feet. So there is really no rear yard, it's just parking spots at the end of the day here. I hope that you actually take a close look at this, particularly the western wall of this development. That's the wall that's next to the single-story house next door. It's 35 feet, it's a huge wall. This is not characteristic of our neighborhood. And I think that we need to stop this. I don't know how you can possibly look at that and say that this structure, the whole structure, is characteristic of this mature, stable neighborhood, or that it's built to the existing built form of the neighborhood, which is what is called for in our Winnipeg and complete communities. And I cannot see how you can say this structure does not have significant negative impact on the adjacent property and the rest of the block. The planning department has used community norms to justify this development, saying that there are other three-story buildings on corner lots in the general area. Of course, if you look at it a different way, there are other community norms which would not lend themselves to this, i.e. that all of these three-story developments are not on 25-foot lots. The vast majority of them, except for ones that have been built by this developer, are not adjacent to single-story family homes. And most of them were built 100 years ago. Okay, there's a new plan for the city. We're not supposed to be looking at the old plans. Those facts could actually be used to conclude that this development is not suitable for the neighborhood. I have concerns that the department just picks facts that help with their desired outcome and ignore the rest. When the three-story development at 589 Jesse Avenue, a 25-foot lot interior development was raised in my block, there was no mention of community norms there because there is no community norms for three-story buildings in interior lots in this neighborhood. So again, it seems to me the planning department is picking and choosing which aspects of community norms it wants to use, if it wants to use them at all. And I do not find that acceptable. I liken it to what you can do with statistics. You can take a large amount of raw data, you can analyze it, see legitimate trends, or you can say, I want this result, and you can work the data to conclude whatever it is that you want. That's what's being done to this community. I remember early on Mr. Robinson telling us that the overall criteria had to be followed were bylaws, and he used, in general, bylaw 200/2006 for those purposes. But also he uses other criteria as well. And even if you leave it at bylaw 200/2006, if that's the bylaw that really counts, why do we need to allow rezonings and variances then? If that's the real standard, every development is requiring rezoning and variances. And I don't see that as very acceptable either. And as well, our Winnipeg and Complete Communities was also passed as a bylaw. And I think that's kind of forgotten sometimes. I hear it expressed more that this goes along with our Winnipeg, et cetera. But it goes along with parts of our Winnipeg. It doesn't necessarily go along with all of it. And our Winnipeg says that infill development should be characteristic and sensitive to the neighborhood, and that it should be built to the existing built form of the neighborhood. So in my opinion, no matter what the planning department says, this development, again, does not meet the criteria for approval as listed in the variance application. It is not consistent with our Winnipeg's infill guidelines for mature and stable neighborhoods. It does create significant adverse effects on the adjacent properties, and you only have to stand in the backyards of 666 and 668 Jesse and 589 Jesse to really see how significant that impact is. It's not the minimum variance required to build a multifamily condominium on the site. It is just the minimum required to build a huge condominium on the site. If they chose to limit the condominium to two or three smaller units, it could be a smaller building. It could fit in. It would be much more in keeping with the neighborhood. And finally, it is definitely not compatible with the surrounding neighborhood. This leads me to just comment on the desirability of these large developments that have already been approved. Early on in this process, Mr. Walter told my husband and me that he had trouble selling second floor condo units, but no problems with the first floors. But that's not what's happening. The initial buildings that have been built here are very large, and they are not selling well. So recently, you may have heard that one of the units at the former 666 Jesse Avenue sold for $600,000. We were all surprised at that. But it now turns out that the developer himself has moved into that unit. The one he lived in next door has been up for sale for more than 10 months, the main floor unit, many open houses. Many has reduced the price, has not sold. These huge units are not selling. We are at risk of having a bunch of condos. They're empty. And in my opinion, empty buildings are not good for neighborhoods. And finally, the impact of all these developments is having a tremendous effect on the community. So one of my neighbors in my block recently purchased the house that was going to go for sale next door. And he's going to rent it out because of his fear that one of these developments would be put up next door to him, because the house next door is a small single family dwelling. I have heard many new residents who've been moved to the area in the last few years who have said if they had known that this was going to happen to this neighborhood, they would not have moved in here. That concerns me a great deal. And at the recent focus group for the neighborhood plan, one of these new residents told the committee or the meeting, whatever, that he and his wife have now decided they are not going to do improvements on their house because they're not sure they're going to stay. And if they sell, it probably will be demolished. And what's the point? And finally, another homeowner bought the house next door that was derelict for fear of it becoming one of these, demolished it, turned it into green space. This does not seem a rational way of development for this great area in the future. Residents shouldn't be left alone to try to protect their lifestyle, their property, and the health of their community. And finally, I just wanted to remind you all that one of the sad aspects of this whole development mess that's happening in this area, the Corydon area, is that this community clearly showed early on that it accepted increased density, that it was not opposed to rezoning and to allow some duplexes and whatnot. All it asked was that the developments approved be sensitive to the community, enhance the community, and the size of the developments be smaller so that they would not have such a negative impact on the whole community and particularly to the adjacent properties. In other words, they asked that the spirit as well as the letter of our Winnipeg be followed and not abused. One meeting as well, Mr. Robinson, I think Councillor Gervasi asked Mr. Robinson if the committee had the right to reject a certain proposal, and he reluctantly said yes, that would be a political decision. Well, I agree with him. You are politicians. This is a political committee. You are supposed to be providing political oversight to the planning department. It is your job to make decisions that are in the best interest of the community and the city. It's not your job to follow the pro-developer line of this mayor, this EPC, and this administration. It would be easy for you to acquiesce, easier, I guess, and let this pro-developer climate continue unabated. I hope that you will have the courage to stand up and finally say no to any more of these destructive developments in this vibrant, healthy, mixed community. We know that City Hall doesn't care about our community. We know that now. But you could let us know that at least this local committee cares about us. The neighborhood plan seems to be near completion. I would suggest at a minimum that there should be a moratorium on variances and rezoning in this area until the plan comes through. And just as an added note, these two previous developments that I saw are like awesome. They're in sort of little commercial hubs close to Pembina Highway, close to Stratford. That's what we need. That also is what our Winnipeg says. It doesn't say to destroy perfectly healthy residential areas.
Cheryl, well, thank you very much for your very articulate presentation, and I assure you none of this has been at all easy to make any of the decisions we've had to make, and none of them were made lightly. And, you know, I'm not even sure if all of them have been the best decisions, even the best we could do with what we've been given and the situation, perhaps. But I guess what I have to ask you is, seeing this, you know, there have been a lot of tweaks to the designs that have been coming forward in terms of, you know, actually having some front yard and with the parking in the back.
And the front yard, I think, is acceptable.
The front yard is a huge improvement over some of the things we saw earlier. And then, you know, there's been a lot of changes and a lot of compromise. I guess for me, to just say no, I imagine any decision I made like that would be overturned.
But what I'm asking is,
you know, my sense from the community is it's not really the density that's right. The issue; it's the size.
Right.
So what would be acceptable to you?
Two of 700 square foot units. It wouldn't have to be the massive building. 5, 8, 9 Jesse could have been 1,000 square foot units. It wouldn't have had been huge. All of the others on my block didn't have to be 1,500 to 2,500 square foot units. They're not selling. People don't want that. They require too much money. Who's going to pay $600,000 for one of these units? It's crazy. So if the units are smaller, the building can be smaller, it can still be a duplex, it's fine. I mean, if you even have three small duplexes there, it would not have to be a 35-foot wall that cuts off the backyards of everybody in the neighborhood, not just the adjacent property. And it's not characteristic of the neighborhood.
Well, and the challenge is in terms of characteristic, you know, we have to go by bylaws. We can't just say, I don't like that design or I don't like that style.
You can't make those arguments. You can't stop ugly. But there are other developments happening in this neighborhood that are fine. They blend in. There's some modern ones, but they have side yards, they have backyards, they have front yards, they're two stories, they don't overwhelm, obstruct, they're not massive.
And the variances that they're asking for here, since they withdrew the other two variances, are very minimal variances. Like, they really are, in fairness, like, looking at what's in front of me in this particular one, aside from the examples you gave from
the past. But do you not have some responsibility to follow the precepts of our Winnipeg?
Yeah, of course.
Well, does it not say it's supposed to be built to the existing built form of the community? The community is not 35-foot buildings.
You know, you're the only person here in opposition.
Yeah.
If your neighbors are harmed in any way, do you not think they would be here too?
My neighbors came up in force for 589 Jesse Avenue and were ignored. My neighbors have decided it's not worth it. My neighbors are buying the houses next door so it doesn't happen, but they're not showing up here because they don't feel that they are listened to. They feel that their rights and that their concerns, their legitimate concerns, are not being paid attention to. It's the old, you can't fight City Hall, and you probably can't with this City Hall that we have. But I would expect this committee to stand up for the community that they live in.
Thank you very much, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else who has not been called to wish to speak in opposition? Are you Riley Barkman?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Riley Barkman. I live at 573 Jesse Avenue. Been there since 1977. My wife made our made our points. I think I would just like to follow up on just a small aspect of that, and that is the rear yard setback. The 50-foot, in the approval, and in the, and in I guess in the original description of the proposed balcony on the first set, Mr. Robinson described the lot across the way and describes it as the property to the rear has a garage and a parking pad at the back lane, standard for all those, the whole neighborhood, with a private outdoor space to the interior of the property. And that, again, is the norm of the neighborhood. It's the norm of most neighborhoods, of mature, stable neighborhoods in the city. You have a front yard, you have a building, you have an interior private outdoor space, and you have a garage. And that is the norm. The norm for the neighbor for 772 Jesse, if you look at the diagram of the building and the side that faces on the his east side, he is going to walk out into his private outdoor. Now, I don't know if he realizes this or not. I realize they have a clock room. But he's going to walk out there into his private space, and he's going to look up at a 35-foot high wall. That's what he's going to see. He's not going to get any air movement from the east. He's not going to get any sun from the east. Now, maybe he doesn't care. But we're not making these decisions here for this particular neighbor. We're making this decision here for the neighborhood. And stopping airflow, stopping sunlight, it is just not what the neighborhood is about. There are a reason for these norms. And the infill guidelines of Plan Winnipeg all say that those norms should be respected. There are no 3,000 square foot living spaces on 25 foot lots on that block. Mr. Robinson probably knows, am I right?
Well, he's not supposed to have a back and forth.
Sorry.
I'll ask him some questions after.
Okay, well,
yeah.
You know, like, there are, that is just not the point. And it breaks up the neighborhood, it breaks up airflow, it just changes the whole complexion. And so that's my point. That's my main point. That these backyard setbacks need to be observed and enforced through whether it's through this committee or through another committee, I don't know. But what is happening in terms of getting rid of those and just arbitrarily building things to what is our current zoning bylaw when they're building things in Waverly West, it's different. That's why the infill guidelines were created. And that's why in Plan Winnipeg they talk about consistency of form. That's my point.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone whose name has not been called who wishes to speak in opposition?
I'd like to ask
for information.
Information?
No.
I'd like to ask the administration some questions. Michael, some of the points that have been raised here, I mean, they've alleged that this does not comply with the infill guidelines in spirit anyway. On our Winnipeg in terms of the compatibility because of the size of the units. What can you say to that?
Well, the issue that's been brought up is the rear yard setback and the overall massing of the building. And there have been some design changes that they may not have seen because they just came in yesterday where they lowered the height to 28 feet and then it slopes up towards Arbuthnot. So at the residential property to the west, it's a 28-foot wall.
And how high is the roof of the house next door?
I believe it's a bungalow.
Yeah, so it's
a bungalow.
Pretty
in terms of all these issues, what's proposed here is, as you can see, because there's only a couple of minor variances, it's within the parameters of what's allowed in the R2 district. The R1 and the R2 district have virtually the same requirements. So in terms of the height, the massing, the setbacks, you could build the same thing on this lot right now without changing the zoning in terms of the box, as you can with what's being proposed here. So I know that this committee has made some motions that we take a look at attached garages in the rear, take a look at heights. We're doing a plan for the neighborhood because these are issues that the neighborhood wants to look at, the elected officials want to look at, the planning department wants to look at, to see if some of these things need to be changed. But we're working within the policy that we have right now in terms of what the bylaw allows on the property. So based on that, you know, we're recommending approval. This is something that could be built by right without changing the zoning.
Is there something that you can imagine that this developer could bring forward that would have less of an impact and still have a triplex and still have a development that wouldn't be as massive in terms of the feeling of some of the residents?
Well, I mean, it becomes subjective at that point because, again, the variances are very minor. So, you know, you could say, oh, they should lower the height, but they're well within what's allowed under the bylaw, 28 feet on the west side. The bylaw allows up to 45 feet to the midpoint, so they could go up to 40 feet, and that would be allowed under our zoning bylaw. You know, you could say that they should have a larger rear yard setback, but again, the bylaw only requires 25 feet, and they have 28 feet. And it is consistent with a lot of the corner
properties.
They're not
even having a variance on the backyard at all.
So, you know, making some of those judgment calls is very subjective, and we have to stick within what the bylaw allows.
Well, I mean, this is just, it's Groundhog Day. I mean, we've just been doing this for several years, and it's a huge problem for the neighborhood, but I just feel completely powerless.
I mean, the good news is that the plan is in process, and we're expecting to have a draft in about a month. And they're looking at some of these issues, and hopefully we'll have some you know, recommendations that will be positive. But in the meantime, we feel that, you know, minor changes, like in our opinion, this is a minor rezoning change, going from single family to a triplex on a corner. We feel that it is appropriate to move forward with those. But for more major changes, major rezoning applications, we do think it is prudent to wait for the plan to be completed.
Yeah. I'm also somewhat disappointed with the lack of consultation. I mean, that's a subject that has been raised repeatedly and been through the mill on this. And again, the next door neighbor, I wasn't even consulted as the counselor. It's Groundhog Day. I mean, on that front.
In terms of the consultation process, the city does not have requirements for public consultation. Other cities do. Ours are just guidelines. So it's always suggested to every developer that they do, you know, public consultation. But at the end of the day, we only have suggestions. And if you know, council feels that it should be mandatory, then they would need to make it a requirement.
The applicant. Let's hear from the applicant. Thank you to the delegations who appeared.
It's in my wall.
Sorry.
You've touched on a lot of the things, I guess, that we were going to say in rebuttal. You just wish to be clear. It's policy that the corner lots are developed more intensively than the middle of the lot. Was the R Winnipeg process that the city of Winnipeg invested in, the purpose of that investment by the city of Winnipeg was to achieve a level of change within neighborhoods that would meet with the existing housing requirements of citizens in the city of Winnipeg. We're all aware that the person per household over the course of the last three decades has dropped by a factor of about half. And that is the reason why units are evolving to a smaller size. We're aware that while the city of Winnipeg has increased in population over the course of the last 40 years by a factor of about 40%, inner city or neighborhoods that are towards the downtown, like this neighborhood, have actually decreased significantly in population. The R Winnipeg process was a well thought out, award-winning process that sought to change the direction of housing in certain neighborhoods in a modest but attainable way, which is why your professional planners are writing these reports. And I can assure you, despite what you heard from the delegations, it is anything but easy from a developer's standpoint. There are iterations and iterations and iterations that have to be drawn before you get to a place where the planners are satisfied. I know that it was we had some fun with it on the on my original comments, Councillor Gervasi and I. But I think the reason that the report the public service has written in to this report the number of units that exist on the corner lots, and I would say that of the 11 properties listed, I think four of them are on Jesse and three of them are on Warsaw, which are right there. There's, I think, five of them over 20 in terms of units. I mean, and yeah.
Or can
yeah,
I?
Sure.
Do you mind if I just say one point there?
Yeah.
I think we heard the delegations that they would have been okay with three units on the site. It's not about the density, it's about the size and the massing. That's what I heard from the delegations. I think I didn't hear people saying you couldn't have three units there. You just have three larger units. Many of these units are very, very large.
Well, yeah,
I think that's
yeah.
the issue. Like, okay, maybe you can address that issue.
But the issue of the massing, again, I want to be clear. We're not. This building could be closer to the street. It could be closer to the back lane. It's not. They deliberately moved it in a few feet on either end. It could be higher. They've deliberately not gone to the maximum height by a significant amount. So when we talk about massing, we have to look at what's allowed on the property right now. I mean, the rules exist, and you can maximize your structure pursuant to the rules, but they've opted not to do that. And I would suggest respectfully, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, that they've done so out of respect for people in the neighborhood. They've done so out of a partnership in working with the public service. That's why this building isn't as big as it could be pursuant to the rules. That's been a deliberate choice that's been made.
No, I do appreciate that. I am aware of that.
Right. Daniel, do you have any comments?
I'm not going to address the comments about other properties, but like a couple of the comments just about the massing of this particular building. Some changes we've made to this building based on our learning with other designs in the area is we actually have split this building into two masses. There is a breezeway down the middle. It exists from the second floor up. Starts at the second floor and continues up. We are lower on the residential side. We use a single slope roof. It kept our roof maximum height is 35, and it's lower than that on the residential side. And we have done a shanty roof to the front and to the rear. That means we have the single slope roof facing to the harbor front, and then to the rear, the back lane and the front lane, we have a roof that sit like this at a, I can't remember the degree slope, but they sit like this to the front and back. So they are lower in mass in the front and rear. That's just a couple of the things we've done with the particular with the design of this building that I think really softened this in terms of its it being an aggressive mass. So it's and they directly respond to a few of the comments that were made.
Why did you change the height?
Why did we change the height? It was not so much that we changed the height; it was to change the design of the roof. We knew we wanted a three-story building, but we knew that we wanted to have a two-story impact on the neighbor. So we changed the design of the roof, but not the height of the building, in such a way that it allowed us to accomplish both.
When we first appeared on these matters, which has been going on a year and a half, it was not uncommon for there to be 30 people from the neighborhood who were against what was being, and then the modifications happened, changes, evolution. We've learned what people in the neighborhood do want. And notwithstanding what you heard from the delegations before us, we do respectfully suggest that the reason that, as the chairman pointed out, that there are not throngs of people here today is not because people have given up, is because people are more appreciative of what's being done here. This is a long ways from the developments, boxy developments that existed in other areas that have been done, and I'm not suggesting from this particular applicant, but ones that have tried to maximize the size, every square foot, full height, all the way out. It's just not like that anymore. I think these are very, very nice buildings, and I think a lot of people think so as well. Originally, you'll recall, there was some discussion about sort of the avant-garde design versus a more contemporary design. There's been a real meeting in the middle here, I think, on a lot of these designs. And I think it's been appreciated. I think it's working. Not for everyone, obviously, but for a lot of people.
Any other questions?
I was just going to say, I certainly do have to acknowledge the modifications that you've made, and there's been a lot of improvements to some of the stuff that was coming forward before that even was approved, you know, I'm concerned about. But I guess I would ask that in future with the consultation aspect that we just do a little bit better there because, you know, when you get the application already in and there's no time to discuss, and as well as more than just the next door neighbor, I think there needs to be a little more dialogue than that. Other than that, I mean, I do appreciate some of the things that you've done here. So.
Fair enough. Thank you.
I move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, please carry.
I move that receipt of public representations be concluded.
All those in favor, please carry.
Well, I just